There's no doubt in his mind that the NFL will eventually have an international team. At some point, there will be NFL teams outside the USA. The NFL commissioner said, I have no doubt about that will happen one day. So, this is also another season where you're looking at 9 international games. I think now if they're going to add these teams, now is a good time to do it, especially as we kind of turn the page on 17 games and start looking at 18 games. I feel like, teams aren't losing home games that traditionally you have. Like, I think we have 8 again this year, not 9, but 8 home games in this unbalanced, 17 game schedule. And when you add the 18th, I think that everyone should have to play one neutral site game. And I think the neutral site game may end up being international, especially with NFL ready stadiums already overseas and ready to go. I always wonder about Toronto, especially if they would ever get an NFL team. Obviously, the market is well big enough to handle an NFL team, but you wonder what that would do to the Bills, because I'm sure the Bills have a pretty heavy draw from the other side of the border.
I don't like the idea of an international team. I wonder how it will play logistically. That's the thing to me. If you're on an international team and you're overseas, what does that mean? What does that do? What's the travel like? What's the compensation like? What's the family situation? I think that's the biggest thing to overcome, Andy. Convince the players to do it, and that is more than money. And then second, figure out the travel. You can't have a team in Frankfurt, Germany. Okay, we're in Chicago this week, and then we're home next week, and then and then we got to go to Houston and play the Texans. I wonder how that's going to work. I'm sure they can figure it out, but I just wonder how it's going to work. I think it would be a really difficult situation for the players unless the NFL comes up with a great idea on how to do it.
How does it work in basketball? EuroLeague has 106 American players. Like, those guys don't seem to mind
going
over to Europe.
But they live there year round, and they're not flying to Sacramento to play the Kings. That's what it is to me.
So you're saying just having to hop over the ocean is the difference in this thing?
Well, I think it's huge. How do you do all that travel? If you have a team in London, okay, maybe you can see it.
Okay.
I think the travel would be a big deal. And why do guys go to Europe? To play basketball. They go to Europe.
Try to get back here.
Because they can't play in the NBA anymore.
Right.
For the most part. And they decide to stay in Europe. Well, those teams aren't traveling to the States to play games. They're traveling around an area that's smaller than the United States. Their travel's less.
I don't know why. I know we've had this conversation before. I just don't think it's that big a deal. The harder part, I think, for the scheduling issue is when you play and how many days off in between for the NFL. That's the important part as far as getting your body back. I know you talk about the family stuff all the time. I just think that if you choose the occupation of being a professional football player, and the best jobs in the world are all over the world, then you choose to be a part of that, and that your family will adapt, especially because the average length of an NFL career is 3-point-something years. So it's 3 years
of
your life.
You're going to lose big time.
Well, I'm just saying, you've got guys that will stay a little bit, but the majority of the teams in the NFL, you're talking about players that are only on the team. Even the best teams, you're talking about 3.5 to maybe 5 years that you're playing in the NFL. So, you could look at it from that college standpoint as, wow, I've got a chance to make a lot of money over 5 years, and my sacrifice is that my family and I, if you have a family, even if you're at the point where you want to have family, is to go live in Europe for a little while. We've got a buddy. This was a logistics part of it, too, that I think is interesting.
Remember, you're not going to be able to choose to go play for the Frankfurt Galaxy. You're going to get drafted, traded,
Well, if you're a free agent, you could choose to do it.
Okay. Well, there's one aspect. But...
okay. I mean, it's not all roads are there, and you may get drafted by Frankfurt. And if Frankfurt has a chance to win a Super Bowl, like, can you imagine a Super Bowl on foreign soil? Because that's probably going to happen, too. You're looking at other...
I just think it's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, I also think that part of your hesitation, because I've heard you say before, and I think you make a great case for it, is oversaturation. Right? Is that not part
of your... Well, I wonder at some point, yeah.
Isn't that part of your philosophy? Do you think that... will the Premier League ever leave Europe? I mean, if the Premier League knew they could make billions by putting a team in New York, do you think they would do it?
Nope.
They would never do it.
Never is a strong word, but I will stand behind a firm nope. Reason being is it's just... I know air flight and all of that stuff has gotten so much better, and I know they've figured out so many different things with that. It's just too much of a hassle, especially with the fact that you have the majority of stadiums all around there that could sell out a boatload of tickets, and you got the cable rights going. And we also know when it comes to the NFL and all these other sports, what's the number one thing that they care about?
Cash.
Yeah.
TV cash. The people in the stands matter somewhat. But not as much as the people on the couch.
That's right.
And so that's going to be the other hurdle is, okay, so you want to put one over there. Does it really matter that you're going to have people in the stands? Because I think the cash and the cable rights have become more money grabs than anything else.
That is correct.
So can I throw you my plan for this?
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear it.
Okay. So this is just a poorly thought out plan. And I'll be the first to state that. I think what you do is you put three teams over in Europe. And what'll happen is you find a plot of land, and you're going to need some billionaire to do this. This was typically where I would say Jeff Bezos, but now he's seems to have his fingers in Liverpool Football Club. We'll see if maybe he decides to go to an NFL team as well. He was talked about in the Broncos for a little bit. But you're going to need somebody like Bezos. And then they're going to build an Avengers compound type of thing.
Basically. For practice?
That'll be a practice facility / dormitory for teams coming in. And what you'll do...
In other words, Goodyear.
You'll fly in. You'll go to the facility, the Avengers compound.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have all the beds there. You'll have the fields there and all that stuff. And you'll play the three teams in Europe. And then you'll fly back. And the same thing will happen for those three teams. You're going to build an Avengers compound somewhere in the U.S. Those three teams will fly in. They'll play for a month. They'll fly back. And that's how you're going to have to do this.
That actually makes some sense.
The thing is, you're just going to need a lot of cash to do it. And the other thing to keep an eye on...
Well, they have cash.
Well, right. You're just going to need to find somebody who's willing to use that cash. This is why I often thought Bezos was the guy that they would circle for this.
Hey, the former Liv guys are sitting around, nothing to do.
Spend money. I mean
do you want to get in dealings with the Saudis?
No, there are plenty of rich folks who can do that. But I mean,
the Saudis have more money than they know what to
thought
do.
That would be,
it's just,
thought,
do you want them
fun.
To have sex?
Thought you'd like that, Dan.
No, I do appreciate
that. That was for you.
I do appreciate
that. That was for you.
I think the flight time, too, becomes relative. And I know that not every team is. But, I mean, you're talking Miami to... Seattle, which is probably the farthest trip you can make in the NFL, right? Does that sound right? Miami to Seattle? I can't think of a farther.
I do believe.
So that's about 5 hours and 55 minutes.
I'll say yes. I don't know any better. So
that's about 5:55. New York to London is about 6:50. So it's a little bit more than an hour more to go. Now, you're talking, so you would think that like all the East Coast teams, for the most part, Miami, you probably got to put another hour on there. Are probably looking at a 6:50 flight direct. To 7 hours, maybe somewhere between there. And then, you know, like we would probably be, I don't know, what's a direct flight from here to London? Probably six, seven, something. Not sure. Just a little bit more. So I agree with you on that compound idea. Especially, you know, if you look at the Browns schedule this year, I mean, have you really taken a good look at the way it plays out?
They don't cross the Mississippi.
Well, one, they don't cross the Mississippi, but the way, you know, how you're talking about, kind of packaging all the games together instead of like on the road at home, like every other week you're switching, right? That's kind of what your plan is. that you would play three in Europe and then come to the United States for three. So you're
I think that's how you'd have to.
And then you put a bye in there. Bye week.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you'd have to do it. And you would call them the AFC Europe or something. You know, and in that way, okay, we're playing the AFC Europe. We'll play those three teams in a row.
Yeah, I just, you look at the Browns schedule, and then once you get to October, like once you get to Halloween, they're on the road for three straight games. Then they're home for five straight weeks if you throw the bye week in there. Like, the Browns are home. They have 1 week off. So November 15th, you're home against Houston. You got a bye week. Then you're home against Vegas. You're home against Cincinnati. You're home against Atlanta. So that, like, the way you package all those games together, I think would, again, this is all about logistics and the way you would make it happen. You have stadiums that seem to be ready to go for the NFL in Europe. I don't know what the fan base is there. And what was weird was kind of an eye opener was the World Cup. And I hate to admit it, but I mean, they kind of get, they know what they're doing.
Well, so when
it comes to international viewership.
Here's what I can tell you, courtesy of the guy who sent us the Dennis Schroeder gummies who lives in Germany, who is my buddy.
Okay.
When he first got to Germany.
Gummies.
Do you remember the Dennis Schroeder gummies? they were really good.
They were good, yeah.
So when he got to Germany about 3 years ago, if you saw a NFL jersey, it was a clear way to tell an American. Now?
No.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the last 3 to 5 years in Germany, that is no longer the case.
So we were told the same thing in Italy, like 2 years ago. You don't wear logo clothing in there if you want to stand out.
Correct.
Like if you're wearing a Tuss-Up t-shirt like you are, you would stand out as an American in Italy. But they did say, for some reason, you can wear NFL gear and you don't stand out in Europe now. Is that weird?
It is a little bizarre.
I don't know. I find
Roger Goodell smiling somewhere.
I think Roger's right. They're going to be international at some point. Like we could sit here and debate the logistic.
What do you think? 15 years? 10 years?
Five?
I don't think five.
When's the next TV contract? When's the next CBA?
They're trying to do the TV contract now, and Fox told them no way. They were trying to renegotiate it now.
I don't know. Maybe they just buy their own rights on everything and they walk away from the networks. By the way, if the networks lose NFL, I that brutal for the networks. They've got to figure out a way to keep them. Again, live programming, undetermined outcome. That's pretty much anyone is watching.
NFL needs to figure out a way to stay on free TV. So how do you do that? You compromise.
But the other one too, when it comes to this Europe thing, if you're a nerd.
But who's watching on free TV? That's my question.
Everybody.
No one.
What do you mean? You're just
Who's watching? Even the free TV stuff. Like, I still wonder, what's the percentage of viewers that are watching on an antenna here in town?
I meant over-the-air network. You know, and so it's over-the-air, but it's also on your cable system if you have such.
I think it's reasonably high.
I'll look it up in the break. I'm just curious because, I mean, that's true free TV, antenna. Like, you don't have to pay anything a month for that other than to buy the antenna up front, and you can get those pretty cheap right now. Yeah, so I find it funny that, you know, we still think of cable or satellite as, like, kind of network TV instead of free TV. I don't think you're alone in the way you think. I think a lot of people think that way because we're so used to it, and we've become accustomed to it since, like, the late 80s.
Well, you get all of your channels on cable.
Obviously, Toronto would be the easiest, or Vancouver would be the easiest. I got to tell you, if I was Seattle, I'd be excited about having Vancouver come in the league because, I mean, they have the farthest travel for anybody, anywhere, whether it's baseball or football. But, you know, it is what it is. And the Kraken, too, obviously, for NHL. Dan, I do need to take this one phone call as a public service message. Jim is in Syracuse. Hi, Jim.
Jim.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
The tugboat seems like a Phelpsian idea this morning. Is that noise his?
Whose is it, Dan?
It's not Jim.
Oh, that's a shocker. I'm shocked. As a truck driver, every damn time that thing goes off, I'm jerking the wheel going, that's Phelps.
I'm sorry, Jim, but it's not me.
I mean,
that'd be Menigan. Just say the word, Jim, and see what happens.
I appreciate it, boys. Have a good day.
Thank you. I think he did say it, so you're a little late.
Andy, who's pitching tonight for the Giants?
Apparently, Tugboat.
Okay. Easy, Jim.
There are some times, like, you're listening to the radio and you hear, like, they'll play a police siren or something like that.
You look
That's
around.
Bad news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder if I maybe could take, maybe I'll try to change the pitch of it. Maybe make it higher pitched or something like that.
Is that an actual tugboat or is that a semi horn?
I went into our royalty free sound effect thing and I typed in
nice disclaimer
boat horn and I went through and went no, because I wanted Popeye. That's what I wanted initially, was kind of like that higher whistle.
Yeah, the whistle.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. You know, I tried steel whistle. Nope. I tried all that kind of
Aren't
stuff.
Tugboats like, no? Or is that like a steamship or something?
I don't know my boat horns well enough to give you an answer.
Okay.
I am sure there is someone out there who does. I'm
15
just not that
years
person.
On the air, I don't think we've ever had this conversation before.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think we've ever had it before.
That's some pretty pedantic conversations.
I have to go look that up. Hang on.
Big word, yeah.
Henry is in Strongsville. Andre, how are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, Andy, I'm just so curious why you're such a huge proponent of this. It sounds like
I just think it's going to happen. That's all.
I just think it's so stupid on the NFL's part. I mean, you've got this money. I mean, in my mind, they're chasing the money. I mean, the whole Thursday games has ruined it. If you have to add, say, two or three teams, the saturation. And then, I mean, my God, they even did a study from going back from 2003. The teams traveling from the west to east coast, just in our own country, are only winning at a 40% clip. Yeah, you could go back in and see what teams are traveling from the west and what records they were. But, you know, every coach is always, you know, the Ryan Day is sitting there trying to figure out the secret sauce of when do I leave. If we're playing in the Rose Bowl, is it Thursday? Do I leave Wednesday? Do I leave Saturday morning?
No, it's got to be worse when he wants to go to Washington, right?
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Imagine figuring out, I'm going to Frankfurt.
I'll give you 9.6 billion reasons why they want to do it.
It's
inevitable. It's inevitable. That's it. I mean, if they get 9.6 billion for the Seahawks, right? And, you know, that's staying within the country. Can you imagine how much these owners are going to cash in? I actually, to me, like, Toronto makes sense, Vancouver makes sense, and that's a, you know, I hate when we get suckered in, because, like, people that can actually give us a good phone call, and then we got to dump them at the end. I hate that. Gary in Cleveland. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Hey, Andy, you can't put a team in Toronto. What are you going to do with the Argonauts?
Good point.
Are they? I don't think they're around anymore. Are they? Are the Argos still there?
Yeah, they're there.
Well, they don't play in the same. But like Grey Cup's over by what? Thanksgiving? When's Grey Cup?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're on that team.
Aren't there only about six or eight teams in the CFL anymore?
Yeah, there used to be a lot.
Yeah, it used to be. Used to be fun.
I don't even think Montreal has a team anymore, do they? They still got the Alouettes?
That's the team that went away, I think, Gary. Have you watched any Canadian football this year? I actually have.
I watch when Hamilton plays because my dad was born in Hamilton. He was a dual citizen.
Oh, nice.
So I watch Hamilton a lot.
BC, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, they're still playing in Regina. Winnipeg, Hamilton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto.
There are that many, huh?
Playing in the CFL?
Does what?
Dustin Crum still playing in the CFL?
I don't know. I got to look.
Pride of Midview.
I have to go look. I have to look.
Yeah, Pride of Kent State, too.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Gary calling in. Appreciate it. By the way, I started watching this. I don't know why I'm walking down this road. This is stupid, but Corner Gas. Have you seen this? It was a show that ended in like 2009. Have you ever seen it? Canadian show. I think I'm watching it on Netflix. It popped up the other day. It's very, very Canadian. They were going to the Rough Riders game in Saskatchewan.
No, only Canadian shows I've ever done was some of Shoresy, some of Letterkenny, the Red Green Show, and SCTV. It's about as Canadian as I get.
You can pick that up on your antenna, huh, Andy?
On which one? Saskatchewan or
Canadian
Corner Gas
show?
No, it's on like Netflix. No.
Yeah, well, that's a you must get Netflix on your antenna.
No, I get it on Roku. I have no idea where you're going with this.
You're the proponent of antenna TV.
Oh, I am. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
so that's, you know. I mean, heaven forbid you pay for it. Oh, wait a minute. You're paying for it.
Yeah, trust me, Jeff. I pay for a lot of stuff on that TV that sometimes I wonder, I'm like, am I better to do this or am I better to do that? And then I've got my Spectrum stuff, too. I'm all over the place. I spend way too much money. Richard is in Euclid. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hi, how you doing? Love this show, guys.
Thank you.
Jeff, I'm with you, Jeff. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think that the NFL should let them create their own teams over there, 15 or 16 teams over there, and have their own ownership, but they still get paid, the owners over here. It's too hard on the families to be going back and forth. I think they should be settled. The family is situated there and leave it like that, and it's we're living in a life how the way the terraces is. It's too much taking a risk.
You know what I'd love to see, Richard?
To make extra money.
Richard, you remember when they had the World League of American Football or NFL Europe, different variations of it?
Yeah.
I would love to see like an 8-team European football league to play it in the spring. I think that would be great again. And I think now's the time for it.
I think it'd be great, too. And look at all these players that can't make the NFL that's cut. Let these players go over there. Let them have their own draft and to give them a chance to go over there and get stable and to make a living.
All right,
thank you. That's all I got to say, guys.
The difference is the living wouldn't pay as much as it would if they had an NFL team there. Look, I'm not pro. It's about the game being a little bit bigger in cities that are, like, sometimes I think we get very provincial. Is that the right word, Dan? I'm looking for you for that. We believe that, and we say this is our game, but it's hard not to watch that World Cup and go, man, it is way bigger than what we call football.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard,
also once every 4 years, which
but
helps.
It's like the Olympics.
I don't know.
We're very provincial, very territorial. I don't think anyone here would care if Toronto got a team. I don't think anybody would care if Montreal got a team or something in North America. Like, North America seems
Buffalo
to be.
Buffalo Bills would care if Toronto got a team.
Yeah,
there are cities in the United States that I think would be better, but I know that doesn't tap into a complete foreign market.
Like, Seattle wouldn't be thrilled if Vancouver got a team.
Like, I'd love to throw a team in Portland the way Portland is blowing up. I know Seattle would get all
Seattle
hot
wouldn't
and
be happy about
that.
Yeah.
But you're going to run into that with any kind of expansion. I mean, somebody's going to get grumpy because you're taking their territory to begin with. So
I mean,
you may
Toronto,
as well just flush that idea.
Toronto's the fourth biggest city in North America.
It would make sense. Mexico City makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Mexico City, New York, and Los Angeles are the only cities bigger than Toronto. And I wonder what the percentage of Canadian season ticket holders is for the Bills.
Now, I will also take the moment to point out that we don't have 32 people to play quarterbacks right now. You think 35 is going to make it better?
I don't.
Maybe like a World League of American Football again or NFL Europe gives you a chance to develop guys who could end up playing in over here. Kurt Warner. I mean, take a look at quarterbacks who actually, I think Jake Delhomme did as well, who played in NFL Europe and it actually helped them.
Okay. Sarcastic comment, and then I promise a real comment after. But first, sarcasm. You're just saying it because you want Trey Lance to play.
That's the truth. Come on, Trey!
Real comment. The other thing you're going to have to figure out, though, Andy, is you bring up with the stadiums and that stuff. Of course, land rules in Europe are really bizarre. But the second part of that, too, you're never going to get priority over the premier soccer clubs in that area to get the giant stadiums to play those games. You would almost have to build those yourself if you want to play them on Sunday. You're always going to end up with the secondary groups.
I don't know. Yeah, I just.
So wait, why are they building these stadiums over there then? And by the way, I don't know about the Vancouver argument either, because Vancouver has 2.95 million people in the greater Vancouver area. Seattle has 2.4 million people. So I mean, if New York can have two teams, because that's what you're looking at. Oh man, there's 4.2 million people in the Seattle Tacoma Bellevue metro.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, That's 6 million people there. If New York can handle that, or Chicago, I mean, you're kind of looking at that same kind of... It's not New York, right? It's not Toronto by any means either, but obviously the residents are there. And again, it comes back to corporate money. And when you get to that American-Canadian split, you're looking at corporate money. But let me bring up one real quick point that I thought that, you know, one of our friends sent us, that you wonder, now there's, I mean, there's some laws in place too when you're crossing over the line. So, but especially when you go to Europe, there's a lot of European countries that will deny you access to their country if you have a U.S. criminal record. So, like, if you have a criminal record here, they may say you can't go.
I'm withholding comment. I'm not going to.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, could that cause a problem? I mean, look, in baseball, we still have issues, passport issues, visa issues. Every once in a while for baseball,
too easy,
they pop up. All right, I'll let it slide on that one, too. Give me your first impressions on what we witnessed on Saturday.
That's a great question. So let's go down the positives. I thought Shador in the third quarter, I'm losing track of days and quarters, I thought he pushed the ball downfield very well. I love what we saw from the rookie receivers. I thought Deshaun ripped a couple of good balls, the switch release to KC, the hook to KC, the hitch on the right side of the field. He had some good passes, certainly. Professional operation, didn't push the ball downfield. The quarterbacks were fairly even there. But I love what I saw from the rookie wide receivers. I love what I saw from the special teams, which obviously have been an issue the last couple of weeks. The last couple of seasons, beg your pardon. Andre Schmidt, great. Punters, they used three of them, look good. The return game, fantastic. Love all that. Defensively, Winston Reed, good to have him back. I thought Michael Coates looked good. Thought there was a lot of good there as well. Obviously, look, going up 10-0 and then giving up a 34-0 run, the preseason does matter. You would have liked to have seen them finish stronger. You would have liked to have seen maybe the stamina. Todd Monken likes to use the phrase competitive stamina. A lot of players admitted they were kind of gassed. It's been a tough camp. By the time they got to the second half, it was a humid day there, even though the rain stayed away for the most part. I think there's good and bad. It was very much a first preseason game. But as you guys talk about Thursday, tomorrow's practice, and then Saturday, to me, I've been circling this week, I think we all have, the entire summer as the most important week of the year.
Do you get the feeling one way or the other about these quarterbacks? Some of the wording that Todd Monken has had, when he came out and said, I think it's only fair that Shador get the next start, and Andy and I were kicking around, well, is there anything fair about pro sports? I wonder what Todd's doing, if he's still in his mind is going one way or the other, you know, this is wide open or what, Andrew?
Still a legitimate competition, because let's play this hypothetical. Right. And truly, from all I understand, I'm not lying to you. It is still a legitimate competition. It truly is. They each deserved a start. That is fair, truly. And they're going to get as equal a distribution of reps as a coach can give in a joint practice, considering not all sessions. One might be a red zone. One might be a run, you know, a set of runs. You can't totally distribute it evenly during a joint practice. However, if Shador comes out on Saturday and throws three touchdowns, don't you think he made a pretty good case to win the job, whether it's against the Bills' first team or the second team? And let's say it's against the second team, and on Thursday, he looks pretty good when he gets his reps against their first team. I mean, to me, that's a pretty convincing case to give him the job. Conversely, if Deshaun looks good and or bad against the second and third or fourth team in the third quarter, people will use his opposition, like who he's going against him. I think Shador can still win this job. I'm not making any sense here today, guys, so thanks for rolling with me.
Well, let me ask you, does he win the job tomorrow and not on Saturday?
Because
Todd's,
I think the game is just as important. I really do.
Okay, because Todd made sound like, I'm going to say no. I guess it's more important when you're looking at trying to fill in the blanks on what's behind the starters. How's that sound? And unfortunately, sure. I think it's questionable at quarterback, and I think you're right, but the fact that Todd said, look, he essentially said, I don't want the starters to have to play on Saturday. I run them. If we can get it working on Thursday, I don't want the starters to have to play on Saturday. And I think that puts Shador kind of in a weird spot, but all based on the things that you just said.
I don't. I don't. Here's why. I think Saturday, regardless of who he's lining up against, can confirm Thursday if he performs well on Thursday. As a matter of fact, you can make the argument that it's an easier test on Saturday. So if he performs well tomorrow, then Saturday is the exclamation point and a layup for him to back that up and prove that Thursday was no fluke. Thursday and Saturday, 2 days, or two good performances out of 3 days, to me would be a fairly strong argument. Let's get this out of the way as well. When teams do a Thursday-Saturday joint practice and then game, this is common operating. This is standard operating procedure that you play your starters in the joint practice. That's the controlled environment. That's when you get your best work. That's when it's ones-on-ones, twos-on-twos, or ones-on-twos and twos-on-ones. And then Saturday, you don't bring your guys back for an ultra-physical set of downs or a couple of possessions because you gave them all that work on Thursday, and that's unfair on them physically 48 hours later to do it again. Sure. Raiders and Texans had a joint practice yesterday.
Yeah.
The majority of their starters are not going to play Thursday. That's how it works.
Because most of them ended up in the hospital after the fight. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, like it's just unfair. Now, you can make the argument it's unfair to everybody, whether you're second team, third team. They don't have magical healing powers. If they get a lot of work on Thursday, putting them back in a game on Saturday isn't ideal. But that's why you play your ones in the joint practice and then you hold them back. That was always going to be the case, but it does make it a little bit tricky. And look, I know people on Twitter and Sports Talk Radio are going to go nuts. Well, it was different competition Saturday than it was Thursday. Yes, that's how this works. So Thursday is vitally important for both of these quarterbacks, but if they can back it up and truly prove their point on Saturday, more power to them.
Andrew, with moving around some of the offensive linemen in practices and getting different looks, I'm all for that. Are they doing that for depth down the road, or are they still looking for five starters?
Yes, all of the above. I think also injuries are legitimate. Actually, I know injuries are concerned right now, and none of them are thought to be overly serious. But Elton Jenkins dinged up. Tevin Jenkins has had trouble staying on the field as well. That's kind of been his injury history over the years, going back to his days in Chicago. So it's great to have position flexibility, but at this point, they would like to lock some guys in. I think moving KT Leveson back to tackle where he played last year is telling, because they really wanted him, and they've said this publicly, to compete for that right guard job. Even though Tevin Jenkins was the assumed starter there, KT Leveson played well into the second half last week. I think he did actually have the most snaps of any Browns offensive player. So if they're moving him back to right tackle, that tells us something. The right side of that line, Titus Howard is going to be your right tackle, but right guard is a legit question mark. If Parker Brailsford can come back, then that gives you some options, because you can move Elton Jenkins to right guard if you feel good with a fifth-round rookie at center. But as much as we praise Elton Jenkins' flexibility here, he has never started a regular season game at right guard.
What's your take on the fact that these guys are fighting at camp? Is this just a matter of getting sick of playing against each other every day in practice and need to see another team, or is it? Or does the offense truly hate the defense, and the defense hates the offense?
I don't think the offense hates the defense. Here's what's disappointing about it. And by the way, there were fights all around the league yesterday in joint practices. Yeah. There were fights between the Saints and the Cowboys. There were fights between the Chargers and the Niners. That's how it works. It's that time of camp, and no matter who you're lining up against, you're going to fight.
Careful, Andrew, or this is going to become the WNBA.
Oh, God, I'm not touching that. Phelps, that's all you, buddy. That is all you, buddy.
Is trying to become the WNBA?
I have truly not watched the WWE in 30 years as I'm an adult. But if that's your thing.
As I'm an adult. Oh, that was good.
Bless you.
Ouch.
Like, bless you. Bless you. I'm sorry, Zagura. This is like it's a fun back and forth.
You should probably, I would not say that in front of him.
No. Hey, no, in all seriousness, I joke about the WWE, far, far, far different endeavors. If you like the WWE, I could not care less how people get their entertainment. It's not my thing. If I'm going to sit down and watch a scripted drama, I prefer, Silo on Apple,
Andrew, if they walked up to you and said, hey, here's $1 million. We need you to do play-by-play for WrestleMania, whatever number they're on, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Come on. You'd get into it.
Sure. Yeah, of course. But, I wouldn't pretend it's real. Anyway, how did we get here, fellas?
I don't know.
Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, that was fighting.
Here's what I don't like is that yesterday they lost like the last 30 minutes of practice or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like this team, this offense specifically, you asked me at the beginning of this, like what looked good. Well, the offense made some plays, certainly, and the young wide receivers look good, but the offense still is very much a work in progress. And you lost a half hour practice that I think you vitally need. Now, you can make up for it on Thursday. Today is going to be a much lighter practice in advance of a very physical practice tomorrow. So you can make up for it, but those are lost reps. And I know guys said after practice yesterday, after Monken understandably said, get out of here and did some extra work, but you can't replace, you know, whether it's 2 minute or red zone or end of game situation stuff, that situational football, you can't replace those snaps you lost in practice yesterday. So that is disappointing.
I know we spend a lot of time talking about Todd Monken as a new head coach, but we don't spend a lot of time about the coordinators. And how did things go for them logistically in preseason game number one? And I'm wondering, what do they need to get better at?
I think logistically it went well. From everyone I've spoken to, it went well. Monken was able to get a challenge flag out as well and won his challenge on that ball that clearly hit the ground right in front of him. He's not going to give up his red challenge flag and allow someone else to throw it. I don't know that any head coach is going to do this operationally, and I'm glad you asked it, Baskin, because it was a question I specifically asked Todd in our pregame interview, like, are you cool? Did you go through scenarios operationally? And he said that the way they had been running practice with the walkie-talkies, with obviously this is what they do these days, whether it's the mic or whether it's the quarterback, they use the walkie-talkies to call plays during practice. They felt that they were ready, and from what I'm told, they were ready.
One other thing about your pregame interview with Todd Monken, I was taken aback by the last question that we played in the pregame show where you asked him about playing in Chicago, and he talked about flying in and flying in over the field that was named for his father. Andrew, you've been in this thing for a long time. I have too. I can't remember the last time I heard that like true emotion from a coach in an interview. I thought that was kind of an amazing moment.
A couple of things. I did not mean to make him cry at all.
I know.
Or get emotional or anything like that. So part of me kind of felt bad, but I had been wanting to ask that question because I knew that, or I imagined that this meant more to him than he was going to admit. He doesn't like to talk about himself. And by the way, I love the guy. If Browns fans could spend 3 minutes with him, they would walk away saying he's one of their favorite people they've ever met. And he's been out in the community. Obviously he's got a lot of work on his plate right now. Browns fans are going to get a chance to meet Todd Monken one day, hopefully out and about or at an event or whatever, or maybe comes over to the rail on the sideline at Huntington Bank Field. He's real. He's honest. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. He's going to coach you hard and hug you hard and look you in the eye and give honest answers. And his, I don't know that everyone realizes this, like the Monken name in Illinois high school football is beyond legendary. There are stadiums all over the state. There's like 13 Monkens who have been coaches. Stadiums all over the state with the Monken name on the marquee.
That's cool.
Everywhere. His dad is a high school Hall of Famer in the state of Illinois. His uncles are. Obviously, his cousin Jeff is the head coach at Army and does an amazing job. And because of the really bad storms Thursday when we flew to Chicago, you know, normally when you fly to Chicago, you land from the east, from over the lake, right? Mm-hmm. We had to circle all the way around because of these bad storms. And so we came in from the west, and he's from the western suburbs, from Wheaton. And they went right over Lake Park High School. And as luck would have it, he looked down as we came through the clouds. He was on a window seat and saw the stadium with his old man's name on it. Mm-hmm. And like for a guy to finally get that shot at 60 years old, and as luck would have it, our first game is there. And as luck would have it, the plane's got to take a circuitous route to land. And you look down and holy heck, that's your dad's name you can see. Like, I can't imagine the emotions I would have felt. Mm.